Miami too.
45, we got it at 5.
Okay, thank you. Okay, first I have to apologize. I figured everyone wants to hear something controversial, so I prepared something controversial, and then I decided, it's not nice. Can't come in as a guest and give it controversial, you know. So I'm not going to be too controversial. A little controversial, maybe, but not too controversial. So I apologize, not so exciting. You can leave already if you want to leave. Okay, anyway. There's a Gemara in Makkos, very end of Makkos. It says, we know, everyone knows the Gemara, there's Taryag Mitzvahs, they have a Drasha, and then they bring that, I think it was Yeshaya, summarize it down to 11, first David made 11, then Yeshaya made, I think, 6, and then someone else made it 3, and at the end, Habakkuk made it down, summarized it to 1. So I think the Marsha there says what's going on. Obviously, you know, they said one was Sadik ben Munasa Yichya. Obviously, you have to keep all Taryag Mitzvahs, but Pshat is that it's hard for a person to focus on 613 different things. Human nature, when you focus on a lot of things, you get distracted. You almost like don't focus on anything. Like if every day is Mother's Day, then you're not nice to your mother at all. One day is Mother's Day. Okay, I can handle that. So there's when you have one mitzvah, so that's then you can really focus and do it. So if you have 5, it's easier than 613. The lower the numbers. So what the Gedolim were trying to do, obviously they were keeping all 613, but if they could find something that encompasses all of them, it'll be easier. You just work on that one thing, and mimeita, you'll get everything. Okay. It's a very important hashgafa. It's a very important trick. Okay. Now, the ma'isa, the same hashgafa is, I'm pretty sure, it's the same psychology. You find it in people. Is that human nature is that when you see something complicated, you simplify it in your brain. For example, I'll give an example. The Chafetz Chaim. Chafetz Chaim was a very big gadol. If I ask a normal person, what was the goddess of the Chafetz Chaim? Everyone knows. What was the god of the Chafetz Chaim? What was his goddess? It is the Lashon Hara. Everyone knows. Now, that was it. The Chafetz Chaim started a yeshiva. He didn't just start the yeshiva. He fundraised for the yeshiva. He ran the yeshiva. Right? He was the, I don't know if he ran on a daily basis, but he was the in charge of all fundraising of the yeshiva. Right? That's a big job. Full-time job. Right? Yeshiva Radim was not a little dinky yeshiva. Right? He wrote the Mishnah Berurah. He wrote Sfarim on Kodshim. Right? He wrote Avos Chesed. Rav Plushinsky, I used to go to his shir one time for a while on Shabbos. He said that in his opinion, in the Achreinim, the best sefer in Iyun on Mesach Shabbos is a Bir Halachas. That's what he said. He wasn't saying. He said there's a tremendous, the Chafetz Chaim is a tremendous Talmud Chacham. Who thinks that Talmud Chafetz Chaim is an Amkin, a Rosh Hashiva? But we simplify him. The Chafetz Chaim, it is Lashon Hara. Right? That's how it is in life. That we go ahead, it's the same either. It's hard for a person to simultaneously grasp things that are complicated. So it's an Eitzah. Chazal were giving us that Eitzah, that we should simplify it. But sometimes what we do is we simplify complicated things really not accurately, because really things are much more complicated. I want to tell a Gevaldika story. I didn't hear this story firsthand. I heard this story when I was in Eretz Yisrael from, I don't know who. Now he's Rabbi Winter. I don't know which Rabbi Winter it was. I don't know. Then he was a Bacher, so he wasn't. That's why I don't know which one. He wasn't Rabbi Winter then. But what happened was that the Winter family was very close with the Shulman family from Sarbaka, because the Mordechai Shulman was very close to. So he used to go for Shabbos, for Al Shabbosim, to Bnei Brak. He used to stay by Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch is he's still the Rosh Yeshiva Sarbaka. He was the son-in-law of Mordechai Shulman, who was the son of Rosh Yeshiva Sarbaka, who was the son of Isaac Scheer, who was the son of the Altar. Okay. So he used to stay by Rav Hirsch. So he came back one time, and he told me that Rav Hirsch told him the following story. So this is a little bit Amy B.A., but I assume it's true. He said that Rav Eliel Lapian came to America, and Rav Aaron was mechabit him to speak in Lakewood. And Rav Eliel Lapian got up and gave a shmooze in Lakewood about the importance of our bus to Tyra. And Rav Aaron told Rav Hirsch that if not, that Rav Eliel Lapian was older than him. He was probably in his 90s. He's a very old. He says, I would have gotten up and pulled him off the bima, stopped him in the middle. Stopped in the middle. What's pshat? Because at least the way I understand pshat, I think this is the way, is that it's not that Rav Aaron did not hold of our batzis Torah. Shiva used to insist that Rav Aaron was very big on our batzis Torah. But Rav Aaron held that there was a major problem in America. America was, everything was for a degree. You went to college, everything was to make money. That was what America revolved around. Everything was to make money, was for profession. And people learned in yeshivas was also for a profession. You go to school to be an electrician, you go to school to be a doctor, you go to school to be a rabbi, but it's a profession. It's professional training. In some yeshivas they used to, you have a professional training, how to be a rabbi, how to have practical speaking, whatever. It's a professional schooling. So Rav Aaron held that that's a terrible thing. People have to know that we learn Torah not because we're going to use it for some other goal, but Torah learning in itself is intrinsically valuable. We're not learning so we can get a going to chinuch. We're learning because Torah is you should learn. That's why you're not going into chinuch. You're not cut out for chinuch. So what? You learn because you learn. There's a mitzvah to learn. It's the right thing to do to learn. It's Hashem's Torah to learn. You learn. And Rav Aaron felt very strongly that Hagsaga was missing in America. So he held, this is the way I think Rashiva used to explain Rav Aaron, that if he would talk about Harbatza Torah, then the message would get confused. Because people, instead of hearing that you're supposed to learn, because learning is intrinsically gevaldic, you're learning because you have to do our batzis Torah. So, therefore, Rav Aaron was against talking about our batzis Torah. He felt that the main of the guys were going to our batzis Torah. Guys learning for 20 years, what else is he going to do? And of course, they're going to our batzis Torah. But you don't have to talk about it. It's a distraction. It's wrong to talk about it. Okay, Rav Shiva disagreed. That's Rav Shiva Tzal. Disagreed, or if she was, there could be have a disagreement. Gedolim can disagree. Rav Shiva disagreed that he felt that you have to talk about it, otherwise guys won't do it. Okay. But the Maisa, I don't believe that the Rav Shiva disagreed with Rav Aaron Svara, which means that there's a tremendous negative in talking about our Batzis Torah. Rav Shiva held we do it, and we do it, and we talk about it all day long. But the problem is that it sends a message to certain people that why do I learn so I can get into do our batzis Torah? Our batzis Torah is the ultimate mitzvah, and so I learn for our batzis Torah. What if I'm not cut out for our batzis Torah? I have this in yeshiva all the time. God, because why should I stay? I'm not going to our batzis Torah. What does that have to do with anything? So what if you're not going to our batzis Torah? You mechuyav to learn to learn. I give a seer of the problem, and I think where it comes out. Also, the Rosh Yeshiva was very strong that a Rebbe, especially I'm talking about an elementary school, high school Rebbe, not a Beis Medrash Rebbe, that's different. We're different. But high school Medrash Rebbe, they have to spend time preparing, make worksheets, whatever. So he held that it was wrong the minhag in some of the yeshivish places that a guy goes, he leaves Kodo, he gets a job in the morning, and then in the afternoon he runs to a Kodo, afternoon Kodo. So Shiva thought that was wrong. You have a job, you're teaching elementary school, you're teaching high school, you're a first year Rebbe, you're obviously not so experienced. You should be spending hours and hours in preparing your lessons, making up worksheets, because the Harbatzah Torah is such an amazing mitzvah. And you should be spending more time doing the Harbatzah Torah better. That's Teiche, your own learning. But the question is, and this I sometimes see, I don't want to be mighty last, but what happens when the guy's not making his worksheets? Right? Shabbos, they're not making worksheets. Summer, 2 months vacation. Now, there are some people that are working, I don't want to say there are some people that spend 2 months preparing. But most Rebbeim don't spend 2 months preparing, especially after a year or two. They're not spending their 2 months vacation preparing. Pesach, Sukkot. So the question is, are they learning? So some are, but regretfully, at least it seems to me that some aren't. And I think that's part of this problem, that they became so gung-ho on our Harbatzah Torah that they forgot that there's a mitzvah to learn for the sake of learning. Right? I only learn all day. All I do all day learning is preparing my worksheets and preparing. That's what I do all day. That's my learning. So that's my mitzvah. So there's no union to prepare, so I'm finished. Finished for the day. I got my worksheets. I'm finished. But what about now? You're finished with your worksheet for an hour, so now open up a Gemara. So it's a danger. I want to go a little further with this before I get to a different topic a little bit. We had, in Miami, you know, every branch has problems fundraising. I guess that's the whole world. So we brought down a few gurus who are supposed to help us with fundraising. I didn't like any of them. Fundraisers get on my nerves. I don't want to say, you know, something about fundraisers. I don't know. So he brought down a certain guru who was supposed to have a good reputation. So he said like this. This is what he said. He said, you have to have, what was the word? I forgot the word. You have to know what you're selling. There's a word.
Brand.
Your brand. You have to have your brand. He says, no one's giving to Chafetz Chaim because they're interested in learning. If they're interested in making Talmidei Chachamim, they're going to give to Lakewood. Lakewood has monopolized Talmidei Chachamim. Says Chafetz Chaim brand is our Harbatzah Torah. You want to raise money, you advertise. We do our Harbatzah Torah all day long. Every single announcement you put out, every single piece of paper, every public relations, don't mention anything about learning because it's worthless, because no one cares the fact that you learn, because you learn, you know. We're not giving to you because you learn. Says any page, what the guy said, every single, you know, you put out a public relations letter, you send out a newsletter, everything, the whole thing should be how the guys went out to this old age home, the guys went to this community, we had a Shabbaton here. Everything has to be our Batar, because that's what Chafetz Chaim sells. That's the only reason why people are Machshav Chafetz Chaim. Now, I thought that was terrible. Right? That means that the world perception of Chafetz Chaim is, this is not for learning. You don't come to, right? And in a Maisa, it hurts us, because when a person wants to decide what yeshiva to go to, right, where he's going to send his son. So, well, what does he want his son to be? Does he want his son to be, he has to choose. Does he want his son to be a Talmid Chacham or a Marbid Saira? Right? He wants him to be a Talmid Chacham, he'll send him to a Lakewood yeshiva. If he wants him to be a Marbid Saira, okay, he'll send him to Chafetz Chaim. But most parents are not so crazy about that they want their kids to be Marbid Saira out in the sticks somewhere. So, but they do want their kids to be Talmid Chachamim. So it's a problem. When the world perceives that Chafetz Chaim is producing Harbatzah Torah and not Talmidei Chachamim, it's a problem. Now, the truth is, I have a chiddush for you. This is a chiddush. That'll be a little controversial. The truth is that we believe that we are producing Talmidei Chachamim. Right? In other words, Rav Shiva held, you have to take Rav Shiva's hashgafa for a minute. Rav Shiva held that the most important facet of learning is Ian. Right? He felt that Ian trumps Bekiyas. And enough time, we're not producing Bekiyam. Okay. But the Shiva held that Iyun is more important than Bekiyas. And the Shiva also held of this Derech of Iyun. And he felt that this was the right Derech of Iyun. So if you would ask the Rosh Yeshiva, that's how, which yeshiva is going to produce, you know, the Talmid HaChamim, you know, he would probably say Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, a big chiddush. More than they would. Okay, I don't know. Maybe they got a genius there, since they have so many more guys. So one guy's a super genius. So a super genius can make up with the fact that it's a different derech. I'm not saying that necessarily. You know, even the Shiva could agree that, you know, there are geniuses that I can compensate. But the concept that the Shiva actually did believe that we're producing Talmid HaChamim, and that's a main goal of the yeshiva. A main goal of the yeshiva is to produce gedolim. You know, that was that yeshiva really believed that. It wasn't just give lip service. That was a real hashkafa. The question is, and here's my real controversial question: do the guys in the yeshiva believe that? I think that's a very interesting question, because if the guys in the yeshiva don't believe it, how do you expect the world to believe it? And the problem is, the world doesn't believe it, and that's mashpia on us, because we're mushpa from the world. And the fact that we don't believe it, it's mashpia within them, it's a vicious circle. The world doesn't believe it, so they look at us a certain way. So, okay, you know, you're, you know, mediocre Talmid HaChamim, but you're, okay, very nice, you have nice midas in doing our Bat Tzara, very big mitzvah. You close the Gemara so you can do our Bat Tzara. Okay, that's a shita. Very nice. Of course, you know, Lakewood, they learn for 50 years and become real Talmid HaChamim, and you, okay, you know, what can you do? That's your shita. You gotta settle for mediocrity. And that's what the world believes, and therefore we are caught up, we're mushba from the world, and we believe what the world says. And because we believe it, then the world also believes it. So the first point I think is very important is we gotta ourselves, and once we believe it, we gotta start broadcasting it to the world. We gotta stop telling it, and we gotta stop. I don't know, I'm not in the fundraising business, but we have to stop fundraising our Bas Siren. Not that we don't fundraise, but at least add, you know. Just the fundraising should not just be that Chafetz Chaim is our Bas Torah. We have to, you know, we're learning. That's we do real learning. Iyun, Havana, Amkes. You know, we have to try and communicate to the world, and it's really more important than to ourselves. I'm not really so worried about the world. I'm worried about ourselves, because if we don't believe it, it has a tremendous hashpah on us. So we have to believe. I think that was my first point I wanted to make, that there's a problem, that Rav Aaron was right in the problem. Doesn't mean the Rashiva disagreed with his solution, but it doesn't mean that he didn't have a good ha'ara. Rav Aaron said, when you talk about our Bat Hasara, you're creating a problem that people are not machshav learning as much. Rav Aaron's solution was, don't talk about our Bat Hasara. Shiva said, that's not a good solution. Okay, yada machloikas. The Gedolim can disagree. But the problem is a real problem. And we gotta admit to the problem that we talk about our Bat Hasara day and night, which is Rashiva held we should. But we have to therefore also talk day and night about the importance of learning, and that's what we do. Okay. Now, how do you become to be machshav, your machshav the learning? So there's another a little bit, I want to be a little controversial. There's another problem with the yeshiva. The gashmius is too good. I have to be very serious. Now, I'm not advocating to have worse gashmius, but it's a very serious problem. In order to feel that learning is important, you have to feel that you're being meiser nefesh. And Baruch Hashem, you're not meiser nefesh. When I was in yeshiva. So first of all, I was telling the guys at Kiddush, there was one cup of grape juice was poured. If you miss Kiddush, you were not allowed to take another cup of grape juice. Grape juice costs money. You could not take another cup of grape juice. There was one cup of grape juice was poured for the whole yeshiva. You had to either get your own bottle, you had to walk to a kolo guy's house to mooch and bat as grape juice. You weren't allowed to use yeshiva kiddush. Milk costs money. You were only allowed one cup of milk. But one cup of milk is a big but. How much are you going to fill up your cup? So the person who was in charge of maintenance, who was a big tzaddik, would pour the cup milk for you. You had to stand on line, and Mr. Goodman, who was a big tzaddik, was in charge, and he poured your cup to make sure you didn't fill it up all the way to the tap. You only filled it up two-thirds, because you weren't allowed, right? The yeshiva did not serve supper. They did not serve supper. The yeshiva only served breakfast and lunch. Breakfast, there was a whole revolution because they got fresh bread every day because they got bread from the bakery, and the yeshiva was makbid to put it in the freezer and serve the day-old bread because they said if you serve fresh bread, guys eat too much. So they only served the day-old bread. But the lunch, supper, they did not serve. They had bread and peanut butter they got free from the government. So you were allowed to get bread and peanut butter, but you could order. There were people that had businesses that they would sell. Milmar came in. Different people had businesses they sold in the yeshiva. So some guys bought, some guys didn't buy. The dormitory was, you know, it was a dormitory. Was not, you know, it was what to talk about. So you at least felt that you were, what were you doing here if not for being Meister Nefesh? But when the Gashmias is very good, so there's no feeling of a serious nefesh. It's a chisarin. It really is a chisarin. Because it takes away from the commitment. So not that I'm advocating that we should have the word Gashmias, but I'm advocating that at least the guys on their own has to do some form of a serious nefesh to knock into their heads that this is important. Because if you only learn when there's no Mesiris Nefesh, it's like this, it's a basic Chinuch HaMusar. When you're in a yeshiva and the Gashmi is terrible, every day you're doing Chinuch HaMusar. Why am I here? You know? But if you're a place that the place the Gashmi is great, so it's different. So you have to do yourself Mesiris Nefesh. Mesiris Nefesh means learning Bein HaSarim sometimes, learning when you're tired, pushing yourself when it's everyone else is going out to play ball and you don't go, you know. Now obviously I'm going to get in trouble with the, you know, you're going to burn out. Okay, I'm going to leave out that you're going to get in trouble. But they, you know, there's a sefer on Rav Shlomo Zalman. I forgot what it's called. Chaku something. Someone remember what? 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 No. Chiko. Mamtakim. Okay, thank you. So it says there that Rav Shlomo Zalman told one of his grandsons that the turning point in his life that he felt he was going to become a Talmud Chacham occurred, I said this story all the time, he says when he was a young boy, he was learning in Eitz Chaim Yeshiva. Eitz Chaim was a cheder. It was, they actually sold, regretfully, they sold the building. It's very sad because it was a Yerushalayim landmark. For just recently they sold it. It was on Rehov Yafa. Right behind, next to Machma Yehuda, an old yeshiva. It was, you walked in there, you thought you were going back about 100 years, which you probably were. So there was that's where Rav Ardavim was a mashkiach. It was a cheder for elementary school. So he was learning in this cheder, and one day there was a big excitement that the first bus from Tel Aviv was coming to Yerushalayim, and I had to with all the dignitaries in the bus. He said he never saw a bus in his life. Never touching a bus. And a bus, first route, is coming and it's driving obviously down Rehov Yafa, those who know Yerushalayim. It's going right by the cheder. He says all the kids went out to see the bus. He said the big masmidim went out, they waited till the bus was coming and then they went out. He says one kid didn't go out to see the bus. Right? Shlomo Zalman, a little kid, I don't know how old he was. He says, when he didn't go out to see the bus, he knew he was going to become a gadol. Because he felt it changed him. He was that was Mesiris Nefesh for him. All the other kids went out to see the bus. I'm giving up this excitement. I want to see the bus too. I'm giving it up so I can learn an extra 10 minutes. It wasn't because of the 10 minutes made him a gadol. And because he learned an extra 10 minutes, you think that made him the gadol? We're not saying 10 minutes learning don't make you a gadol. But the action, the chinuch hamusar of giving up, he sacrificed the excitement of seeing the bus. He's a little kid. Everyone's going to see the bus. It's excitement. First time in Yerushalayim. You know what a bus is? You know what a bus is? First time. And he gave it up so he could, because he felt learning is more important. So he said, oh, he felt the difference. He said from then on his learning was different. That changed the way he learned. He became a different person. His learning changed. Because he did chinuch hamusar for this in learning. So what you have to do is not just, it's not just being more hasmada, which is we do hold of, but you have to be ready sometimes to be meiser nefesh. When you're a little bit of mesiras nefesh, it changes your perception of the chashivas of Torah, and that is extremely important. We have to have a perception that obviously we're machshav our bas tzaira, not chas v'shalom laying down our bas tzaira. But I don't know if we have to talk about it. But what we have to also remember is that we're also machshav Torah, and therefore we're meiser nefesh for Torah even when it has nothing to do with our bas tzaira. The Torah is intrinsically, it deserves mesiras nefesh. Okay. Anyway, that was, I want to talk about Torah. See, I'm running out of time. Okay, now I wanted to jump, because since I don't want, you know, we said that we don't want to just do the, I don't want to do the Aveira of just putting the Torah, Yechavetz Chaim is only Torah. Also beyond that. So we do a hold of our bus of Torah. So I'm going to skip, I had some other things about Torah, I'm going to skip it, and I want to talk about the other side of the coin. There is a thing called our bus of Torah. Now, there's a I don't know if it's a misnomer. You know, how do you succeed in Harbatz Asaira? I don't know. That's a good question. I wish I knew. But a little bit, maybe. Maybe I'm supposed to know. So we'll make believe I know. So, obviously, the Yeshiva definitely held that the bigger Talmud Chacham you are, the more you'll succeed. That is definitely true. The Yeshiva held that way because the bigger Talmud Chacham has more clarity, and you can give over, you can teach with more clarity, and I still don't know whether being able to say a chabura necessarily helps, but okay, for depending on what shir you're teaching, but clarity in learning, which is extremely important, is definitely will help for our bas tzaira. But the chabura does help. Why does the chabura help? Because there's a Sefer HaYashar, which just happens to be quoted in this Sefer here. Kedush HaLev, nice Sefer. So the Sefer HaYashar brings that, this is a Rabbeinu Tam supposedly, that someone, there was a Chacham Omer, Kishi Yisraeli Adam, when a person gives me Musar, Ve'eretz LaHoker, and I want to know, Ema Musar Hu Yavo Min HaLev, I want to know if the guy's sincere or just, he's being a phony. That, hey, he's saying the word, but doesn't really mean it. So I'll see. I have a test. Im nichnes maestro belibi. If I get inspired from what he says, so then I know he's sincere. And if not, I know he's not. It's an amazing Sefer HaYashar. It means this guy's giving me a tremendous musar shmooze. I'm trying to figure out, is he sincere or not? Well, why can't I just point to something? Use my seichel and figure it out. Apparently, intellectually, there's no way I can figure it out. No way. I can't point to anything to determine that he's not sincere. He sounds sincere. He's saying all the right words. But for some reason, I won't get inspired. And then if I don't get inspired, oh, to Raya, he wasn't sincere. Which means that even though intellectually I can't figure out why he's not sincere, and I can't point to it, and if you ask me, what makes you say he's not sincere? I can't point to anything. But somehow, on an emotional level, my brain, my heart picked up that he wasn't sincere. And therefore, I didn't listen to what he says. So there's a tremendous insight here that even though we think we make, we say the speech and we say it and we say all the right words and we say terrific, and I said it, bet I said over Rabbi Harris, the shmooze, better than Rabbi Harris, it was great, I said it, you know. But the difference is maybe he had more sincerity. And sincerity, you can't put your finger on it, you can't discern it. But sincerity is the biggest power of Mashpia. That's what I believe. The person who's more sincere has more ability of Mashpia. I remember when we were once in the yeshiva, I don't know when it was, maybe in the Blatcher, I don't remember. Someone asked Rashiva a question. It was not me. I have to have a disclaimer because I know someone will be chayshesh me, but it was not me. There were other people who had chutzpah in the yeshiva besides me. So someone asked Rashiva the following question that he learned a few years in yeshiva. He says, I'm a better learner than some of the guys in the kodo. You know, these guys in the kodo, you're sending them, letting them go out to do our batz tzairah. So why can't I go out and do our batz tzairah? Why do I have to stay in yeshiva? That was the guy's question. That's a little chutzpah. But he actually asked that question. He says, there's a pill pusher, I do better. They come ask me pshat. So why shouldn't I'm already a better learner. You know, you have to be a good learner to do our bus this time. I'm a better learner. Baruch Hashem, I was given a gift. I'm not about gaiva. I was given a gift. I have a brilliant head, whatever it is. So why can't I do it? Go out. So Rashiva said, because the harbasa's Torah is not going to be done because of your Torah. It's going to be done because of your sincerity. And you need to stay in yeshiva 14 years to be kind of sincerity. That's what he said. He says, you have to, that kodo guy, he's much more sincere than you. You might not be able to put your finger on it. You can't superficially, a silver-plated piece of jewelry and a pure silver piece of jewelry looks exactly the same. But somehow people can tell the difference. I don't know how, but they can tell. A mumcha can look at it and they'll say, oh, that's silver plated. What's the difference? It looks exactly the same. There's a difference. So he says, you're silver plated and he's through and through. It's a difference. You'll go out and do our buses tar, you'll be a failure. He'll go out and he'll be a success. Not because he's saying anything better than you. You're both saying the same exact words. You're a bigger Talmud Chacham. You'll do even a better job. You'll say it better. But you won't be able to say it with that conviction, with that depth of conviction. And at the depth of conviction, the Talmidim can pick up the depth of conviction. And that's what, you know, so what you need is really, what I'm sort of saying, is that the Harbasa Torah is really a totsah of the first thing we were saying. When you're more committed to learning, then you'll be a better Marbis Torah. The Rebbe that is not so committed to learning, the Rebbe who doesn't learn on his free time, can't be a good Rebbe. Because what's he teaching the Talmidim, the Torah? You yourself don't be Machshav Torah. So you can say all the words, oh, you got to learn, you got to do this, right? But he obviously doesn't believe it fully. He's not ready to be Meiser Nefesh for Torah. He's not giving up his vacation for Torah. So when he gives the speech of Torah to his Talmidim, there's going to be something missing on his commitment. And therefore, he can be the most charismatic, and he can be the most Talmud Chacham, and he can give out clarity, but it's not going to work. So it's sort of what we were trying to say in the beginning, that we got to get ourselves more committed to value Ruchnius for ourselves, is really the secret of our batz tzairah too. Because that is one of these things. I don't say it's the only thing, you know. The people get very upset with me. People that go to all these chinuch courses, you know, they say, "What do you mean?" Other things. But I happen to think that that's the most important. The most, I would say, well, it's probably, or at least one of the most important. One of the two most important. Chinuch classes are number three, in my opinion. Good, you got to do it. What's two? Well, so, you think I'm not going to tell you? Okay. The second most important thing is it's also a Sefer HaYosher. The Sefer HaYosher, it's also a Shmuz at Rosh Hashiva, that it's not a sefer lishma, it's not a sefer yosher. It's a steer. It's a sefer yosher. There's Rabbeinu Yoina that says that Avraham was a Baal Chesed. How do we know it was a Baal Chesed? Because he did our Bustos Torah. So Shiva asked a very obvious question: what's the raya? It's not mukhruch. We know we do our Bustos Torah. You know, half the shmooze and why you should do our Bustos Torah is because our Bustos Torah is the greatest mitzvah. The chavis of others. That you get a chedek in the mitzvah of everybody, every one of your talmidim, you get a chedek in their mitzvahs. Just for the record, there's a sefer, Menucha of the Kedusha, who says that you don't just get a chedek, you get 100% of all the talmidim's mitzvahs. Except the Talmud also gets 100%. So you know, really, so the ma'is, he quotes it from the Gra. So so we always tell our Bustos Torah, it's the greatest mitzvah. You got to do our Bustos Torah. So who said that Avraham Avinu did our was about Chesed? Avraham Avinu was a Yirei Shamayim. He wanted to do mitzvahs, right? Well, the question you ask here is, Avis Hashem. There's a pasuk that if you love Hashem, you want people to be dedicated. So Rishiva said a very passionate answer is that you cannot succeed in our Bustos Torah unless you love your Talmidim. So that's the second most important thing. You have to love the Talmidim. And if you, because the Talmid isn't interested in your Bustos Torah if the Talmid picks up that you're doing it for yourself. So you have to convey that you really feel it's better for him. Now, here's where the two pieces go together, because we said the first thing is that you have to really believe it, because the Talmud can pick up if you don't really believe it. So I believe that the Talmud will also pick up if you don't really love him, which means like this. There's a... let's try and explain this I'll get myself in trouble, but I got to keep going. It's not so easy to love every Talmud. Sorry. Especially if you, let's say you're teaching. I once had a substitute in high school. Oh boy, it was one kid. He was, forget it. You gotta love that kid. That would be really, really hard to love that kid. He didn't let me teach anything. The guy would picked to step up in the middle of class and just walked around in the middle of the year and started talking to people Oh, I love you. Very hard. It's very hard to. It's even without that, it's hard to love that people. But it's surely hard to love someone who is making your life miserable. Now, I'm not saying he's maliciously. I don't say the Talmud is out to make your life miserable. I don't believe that. The Talmud is doing as he is doing out to make himself happy. But in Maisa, he's ruining my shiur. I spent so hours preparing this shiur, and this Talmud is ruining it. So there is one sheet out there that says that, listen, it's so important the Talmud has to feel that you love him, so you gotta make believe you love him. So, I don't know, you can ask the Rebbeim here, I don't believe in that sheet, because I believe that that what we said before, that people pick up, and they'll know that you're faking. And they'll know that you're faking if the Talmidim pick up that you're a phony, then everything you taught them is fake, is puzzle. Now, I'll give you this example. Right, I'm teaching sixth grade. I have one student that he just drops my class every day. I can't take it. I come in one day, I take attendance, I say, Chaim, oh, he's sick. Right? Without thinking, I smile. Right? You can't help it. Okay. I don't even know that I smiled. But I smiled. Okay. Next day, Chaim comes back. Oh, Chaim, I missed you. I was so sad that you weren't here yesterday. Right? Everyone in the class is saying, oh, that teacher's such a liar. So you just lost all your... So anything I'm going to teach them is worthless. So I don't know. This is a different sheet, but I don't believe that you can fake it. You have to try and do it, and it isn't easy. There are some Talmidim that are hard to love because they're difficult, sometimes because it's not the Talmud's fault. Sometimes the Talmud is just very quiet, and he's a tzaddik, but he's not noticeable. And, sometimes he gets skipped over. it does happen. Sometimes he's, you know, I'm sure many people are angry that they felt that their Rebbeim didn't love them. You have to be done your Rebbeim the Kanschus, because it's hard. Every year you get new Talmidim, and sometimes Rebbeim are very busy and they have other things in their lives doing. But the Maisa, and I'm not saying that I'm so good at this, because every Rebbe has this precise, but it is an important thing. You got to try as much as you can to love the Talmidim. So I want to tell a Gavaldic story, a true story. It happened to myself. Rashiva gave me a little musser. But it happened 50 years ago. So 50 years ago, maybe I improved since then. Maybe. I was in the Blatcher, a little less than 50 years ago, about 48 years ago, I think. Baba Kama. You people figure out when Baba Kama was. Okay. I think 48 years ago, right? Is that right? 47, 48. Okay. So I was in the Blatcher, and they had a branch in Israel. It was the only branch at that time. And they wanted to send, they used to send Beis Medrash guys. And they had no Beis Medrash guys to send to Israel. Because yeshiva, as some of you may know, was a much smaller yeshiva than it is today. So there were no Beis Medrash guys. So all of a sudden I hear this rumor going around the yeshiva. I don't know how it started it, but I assume, can guess, that the yeshiva would like myself and somebody else to volunteer to go to Israel to help out. They don't want to. She doesn't want to ask me, but I should volunteer. I think with myself and label this guy. I think they want it. I think that we should volunteer. Okay, and maybe Yossi Hamster also. I don't remember. There was a different group that already went. Rabbi Jacobson had already gone, so he couldn't volunteer. But okay, we should volunteer. Okay. So Shabbos afternoon, there used to be the guys who used to eat lunch in the yeshiva, and after lunch, they would walk over to Rashiva's house, and they could ask Rashiva's any hashgafa shaydas. And a plea, I assume, most of the guys didn't go. I don't know why not, but that's what happened, because you're not going to give up your Shabbos rest to walk over to Rashiva's house to, you know, have to walk there and then Shabbos. But we used to have a set group that used to go, you know, 20 guys, 15 guys. And so we got there. So I asked Rashiva, he said, at this stage of our lives, are we supposed to be doing our Harbasis Torah? Are we supposed to be learning? And Rashiva said that your main focus should be on your own growth, because you know, now's not your time for Harbasis Torah. So I said, aha, I caught you. So then why is it that I hear a rumor that the yeshiva wants me to volunteer to go to Israel? Since obviously there's no shir, at that time there was no shir in Eretz Yisrael post the up on the Rashiva shir level. It was only up to the, they only had shir up to what was considered Rabbi Naimin shir level at that time. And obviously there's no shir for me. Obviously I'll learn much better if I'm in a shir. So why should I, if now I'm not supposed to be doing our Bosses Torah, so why should I volunteer to go to Israel? Well, did I get my head handed to me? Basically, Rashiva told me that there was some of the biggest masmidim in the yeshiva were total failures when it came to our Bosses Torah. He says the reason is because they spent 15 years of chinuch hamusar, caring about themselves, being self-centered. My learning, I have to become a gadol. I can't waste a second. I have to grow. And then when it came time to care about their talmidim, they couldn't do it. You're wasting my time, you know. You know, you're asking me a question. I said this already. I should repeat it. I already said shat. I have to repeat it over again. I haven't got time for this. He says, to be able to change on a dime that 14 years you only cared about your own learning, and now you're ready to schmooze with a Talmud about his learning, he says he couldn't do. So he says that you have to do chinuch hamusar, of learning how to care about other people. So he says, if there's a need, he says, not al pidin, it doesn't go into the gather of Yeshua de Acherim, I don't know why. He says, no. Al hilchus Talmud Torah, it's a big chiddush, Rashi said. Al hilchus Talmud Torah, you shouldn't battle, you should learn. It's not the gather of Chesed Yeshua de Acherim, I don't know, you know, he didn't think it fitted into that gather. But there's a need, and you can help, and no one else can help, and it's a chisaron in midas. If you don't, and if you have to learn chinuch hamusar, you got to practice consideration for others so that you can knock into your, I don't say thick head, I don't think he said thick head, but okay, into your head that other people are more important than you. Okay, the mice, I didn't go. I don't know. I think after that conversation, they didn't want me to go anymore. You know, that's what happened. She's like, no, you know, you can't go. You know, that's it. You can't go. We'll find a different solution. I went the next year. But okay. Anyway, it's time to end. Okay, so the mice of the yeshiva's goal, I think the yeshiva, someone asks the yeshiva, we have to make sure we remember there are two tracks in yeshiva. There's learning. There's our batisara, and they work together. The more we're machshev our own learning, then the meida will be more successful in our batisara. Okay, yeshikaya. What? I didn't say, I said that guy. I wasn't the only Bama Chutzah in Yeshiva. I had a
husband.
I don't know. What are you doing?